You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you if you've been drinking, get a ride, take a cab, find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're ready, map it out.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
So tonight, with a new Iraqi government in place and following consultations with allies abroad and Congress at home, I can announce that America will lead a broad coalition to roll back this terrorist threat. Our objective is clear. We will degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL through a comprehensive and sustained counterterrorism strategy.
So did anyone in the NFL see the second videotape before Monday?
No.
No one in the NFL?
No one in the NFL, to my knowledge, and I've been asked that same question, and the answer to that is no. We were not granted that. We were told that that was not something we would have access to. On multiple occasions we asked for it, and multiple occasions we were told no. I understand that there may be legal restrictions on them sharing that with us, and we've heard that from attorney generals and former attorney generals.
You know, there are people saying they just don't buy that, that no one in the NFL had seen this tape.
Well, that's a fact, and I think it's a fact because the criminal justice system and law enforcement were following the laws.
Another major story coming out of the NFL. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson was indicted today on charges of reckless injury to his son. Reportedly, this stems from him allegedly disciplining his 4-year-old son back in May. Peterson testified before a grand jury a few weeks ago, and the indictment came down today. And the Vikings have now deactivated Peterson.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is September 14th, 2014, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best, and I'm J. Ryle. Of course, I never share the stage by myself this morning. It's just me and my main man, the man who really runs everything around here, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you? Turn his mic on. Good morning, Mr. Elias. I'm sorry, I turned your mic on. Good morning, Mr. Elias. How are you, sir?
All righty, sir. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Tough morning this morning. You know, obviously, you and I are huge fight fans, and so, but, you know, we're dedicated to the cause. Tough day today, but glad to be here, and I'm glad to be able to have a conversation with you about some of these topics. I think they're important topics, and, you know, this is the first for the serious side, so I'm glad that we're here this morning.
Right. Well, yeah, you're right. It is the first for us all sports. So, wow, yeah. We don't lose our,
for the most part,
audience.
For the most part, we do have some things we're going to talk about with the president. Dr. Princess LD is off this morning. She's not feeling well. We send our best wishes out to her. And, of course, our colleague Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net usually joins us after his commitment to Clear Channel Radio. The call in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can be a part of the conversation if you like. If you do call in, we ask that you give us your name, where you're calling from, and make your comments brief and respectful. And we'd love to hear from you this morning. Once again, we have a great show on tap for you, so without any further ado, let's get into it. First up, this past week, the president announced that the United States is going to destroy and dismantle the terrorist group called ISIL. Sounds very familiar to a lot of Americans, so let's just start right there, Mr. Elias. Is this a situation where President Obama is sounding more like President Bush?
Not to me, man. Not in this instance, man. You know, we're actually going after, you know, we're not going after oil, to me. To me, that we're not going after weapons of mass destruction. We're going after terrorist groups that are harming American citizens, man. So, you know, I'm drawing a blank this morning. But Saddam Hussein, when we had Saddam Hussein over there running stuff, he wasn't harming American citizens. He wasn't doing nothing to American citizens. So, no, it's not the same to me at all. The first and foremost thing, you know, like I said, when we went to war in Iraq, the first thing everybody said is they got weapons of mass destruction. We better get over there right now and take care of them. They're this, they're that, and it wasn't no weapons of mass destruction. We went over there just for oil. To me, that's what we went over there for, is the oil, nothing but that. We thought we were going to be able to take over the oil and do what we want to with it, but we weren't.
So you really look at this situation as a little bit different. I think the reason why a lot of people are saying that it sounds more like Bush, because this is very hawkish. The United States of America going after a group, a terrorist group, and making them front page news. You don't see anything wrong with that whatsoever.
Well, they're harming American citizens. So he has taken the stand where he's saying, hey, look, if you harm any Americans, We're going to take it seriously. We're going to deal with what we got to deal with from that standpoint. Now, you know, if they go over there and they harm any other citizens besides the ISIS group, and you know, some, I feel bad about that. I do, man. I don't think any innocent citizens should be taken and caused bodily harm. I don't. I'd rather be American or Saudi or anybody. I just don't. I'm a humanitarian. I don't believe in hurting people that are not in harm's way.
Well, now when you talk about this being a situation where it's harming American citizens, we had this conversation last week when we mentioned, yeah, you know, in war there's collateral damage. We're talking two United States, our American journalists who were beheaded. I mean, so when you talk about, you know, hurting Americans, you know, there's no record of them doing anything else, at least not to my knowledge. But so, I mean, why are we taking such a drastic approach to, okay, we had people who have done this? I mean, I don't want to make it sound light or anything like that, but, you know, the bottom line is they haven't. It's not like 9/11 where they killed they murdered over 3,000 innocent Americans. But you know, we can say that for anything, though. We can say that for any group that's out there that are hurting American citizens. I'm pretty sure there are groups out there who have done more to American citizens than this group. But is it a situation because where it's located, Mr. Elias, the reason why the United States of America is really getting involved in it? Because it's in Iraq, because we have the situations going on between the Sunnis and the Shiites, is it a situation where it's a mess that we created and now we feel obligated to clean it up?
Well, yeah, you gotta clean up somebody else's mess, man. That's like if one of your, I hate to say it like this, the analogy. If one of your kids make a mess, you gotta go back and clean it up. You know, because if you don't, it'll cause damage later on to your home. You know, if your kids spill something in your living room, you don't clean up right away, what happens? That spot just stays there. So I mean, they have to clean up the mess that was made by the former regime, president. So I mean, he's cleaning up the. Yeah, for administration. So, bottom line is, he's cleaned up that mess. But the bottom line is, to me, the way I feel about it, like I said it last week, if you got our young men going over there to fight, man, there's no telling where they're at in the United States right now. So.
I guess the thing, though, Mr. Elias, when it comes to Americans, we're fickled. Because on one hand, we're saying, look, we want 70% of Americans support the fact that we're going to go after this group. But then if you poll that same group, you know, they're saying, well, wait a minute, but we don't want you to put boots on the ground. How effective of a strategy can it be if we have air power? Because what air power is all about when you talk about warfare is you bomb, you bomb, you bomb, you get these guys to come out and expose themselves, and bayou, you're on the ground and you can eliminate the threat. But if you don't have any ground troops, I mean, how effective can an air campaign really be?
That's why, you know, sometimes I'm not a master of war, you know. Bottom line, you never know what they have. And you never know what they can do with airstrikes, man. I don't know. I mean, boots on the ground, yeah, that would be, you know, the way to go, I guess. But I don't want to see no more American soldiers over there going and getting killed, man. There's been enough killing with our American soldiers over there, man. For needless things, man. So, no, you know. But like I said, ISIS is man. I guess that they're the new Al Qaeda. And every time, if you look at it, every time a new terrorist group comes up, we go to war. We start fighting.
What do you mean by that? I mean, give me some examples of that, because I'm not following what you're saying.
Al-Qaeda
had been around a long time, though, Mr. Elias.
Right, but when they became a major threat, we went to war with them, didn't we? And we're wiping them out. And that's what happens with terrorist groups, man. You know? Anytime they pose a threat to the United States, we wipe out terrorists. But when Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and his group, we wiped them out. And that's what we do with terrorist groups. That's what we've done all along.
347-850-1272 is our calling number. 347-850-1272. You're listening to the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best to get out to the phone lines to say good morning to Jane Hoffman. She's a colleague here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Good. I wanted to comment because I have my background is Middle Eastern foreign policy. First of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. Syria, we never got involved in the Syrian civil war, and they've had over 200,000 civilians displaced in the countries like Turkey and Lebanon. And then that ISIS group formed a void out of the Syrian civil war and non-practical political administration in Iraq, because the Iraqis didn't like their own leader, Nuri Maliki. So what's happened now is they're more than a terrorist group. They're like a non-state actor, like a terrorist, but they're a moving army, and they have no fear of anyone, and they cross other national borders, mean nothing to them, and I believe they are a serious threat for the United States to push back and quell. But I also agree with whoever said that I don't want to see more Americans die.
Well, if that's the case, then Jane, how do you correct the situation? If because anytime you engage anyone in a military type affair, I mean, you're going to have casualties. So how do you propose the U.S. moves forward in trying to eliminate this group? Because you're right, they're all about trying to take over territories. You are absolutely correct in that assumption. So how do we do this without us losing an American life? I think it's impossible. Your thoughts?
Well, I do have one idea. When George Bush Sr. Got the United Nations resolution in 1991 for the Gulf War, it was a coalition of over 20 countries trying to get Saddam back outside of Kuwait and push him over the border. When George Bush II went in there, it was more, he had more of a cavalier attitude with lack of legitimacy, even though Congress approved it, but most of the Americans didn't support it. I guess my strategy would be, if I were president of the United States, would be to have primarily special forces in there, and I would work. Syria is a delicate place because we haven't really helped them in their own civil war, but it does border Iraq, so we'd probably have to use the resources of Saudi Arabia to set up a ground base there, and we would have to put boots on the ground and suffer the casualties, because if this group isn't stopped, they could destroy the whole middle section of the Middle East. So I guess in one sense, I'm kind of talking out of two sides of my mouth. I want them stopped, like LES said, like 70% supported. But on the other hand, you are going to get some casualties, because if this group isn't stopped, Israel is in a state of quagmire right now with Palestine. There's so much upheaval over there. We can't solve all the problems, but we could at least make a dent.
Okay. You really and truly believe that that they are an intimate threat to the United States, and that we really need to be on our P's and Q's, because if we don't squash this now, I guess your assessment is the fact that this group will become very powerful and will be the biggest threat to the United States.
Because they come from seven countries. They have recruits from Qatar, Bahrain, and seven other countries, and they also have, did you know they stole $428 million American dollars out of a bank in Mosul, Iraq? They have super good funding. They're not like the Taliban who hide in the mountains. They're right out there in the open, and it's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate your participation this morning, Jane. Thank you for listening, and God bless, and we hope to hear from you soon. And don't feel free to check back in if there's anything else of your interest
that
you'd
like to talk
about. Sure, I'm
just going to stay and listen, okay? I'm going to stay and listen. Thank you for letting me talk.
Not a problem, Jane. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Man, I tell you what, another day, another dollar, Jerome. We're talking about the president, and we're saying, okay, he made the announcement this past week, we're going to destroy and dismantle this group. Now, here's the deal with that, and a lot of people are saying that the president was somewhat pushed into this position. Do you believe that, or do you think he is? It's his conviction, and he wanted to get out here and make sure that we put a stop to this group?
He was pushed, probably. I mean, the presidency is symbolic, right? And so, I mean, not symbolic. What's the word I'm looking for? He is a symbol of the United States. And what happens is that there was too much of an outcry of him not doing anything. So the first thing that you do is you use your words. And so he's using his words. And he's trying to, you know, exert influence by using his words. Now, whether he, you know, the whole thing about is it U.S. fight and all that stuff is kind of, you know, is hokey at best. But he was using his words, and he's supposed to do that. You know, we talk about using a bully pulpit for menial things every now and then. And technically, he's the voice of the U.N. So if we're the strongest military power in the U.N., or one of the strongest in the U.N., he had to support whoever was going against those who were committing those acts. He had to stand on the side of somebody.
And so, well, when you go back, it's interesting you said he was pushed. So you believe that, because, you know, the president is a very thoughtful man, and we all know that, and a lot of people are saying, well, you know what, that's a strong quality of the president, is that he's not going to be the first one. He's not a saber-rattling type president. Joe Biden is a little bit more passionate than he is, but when you sit back and really think about this whole thing, you really truly believe he was pushed into this by members of his own administration?
Well, I can't use the word push, and I wouldn't say that Joe Biden's more passionate. You have a responsibility as president. As vice president, you can play, you know,
good cop, bad cop.
So
yeah.
That's a strategy in itself. So you don't I'd say that he had to get out in front and make a statement because of all of the comments that was going on nationally in this country about what was going on. So he got out in front of it. All actions are political to some degree, but he had to say something. And so since he had to say something, he had to say something kind of with force. Because you have to remember, we had a bunch, this country for the longest, just has a bunch of war hawks. You know, and you know that's sickening and stomach-cringing to hear your president go out and say, you know, we're going to hunt you down to the gates of hell and the end of earth. And that is silly and stupid, right? We can't be irresponsible, and President Obama's not irresponsible. So what it takes him a long time to get to that point to start using words like that, because we know George Bush didn't hunt Osama bin Laden down to the ends of the earth, because although he said it, we know now in retrospect he wasn't even looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to, when you look at what's going on now, it's hard to put present day to butt it up against history, but it does mean something. You have to kind of see and read between the lines in a lot of the stuff while it's going on. It's very important. And just like their caller said, Jane, I guess it was, I think it was.
Yeah, Jane.
Just like she said, that our understanding of what's going on there is personally, in a great deal, our fault. They stole money that we supplied to Iraq because we were trying to buy our way into controlling a country. And once it got out of hand, we actually provided the weapons for them that they stole and the money that they stole. We put all of that stuff in Iraq. We essentially armed them. If you want to go back to George Bush times.
Well, you know, I remember, further than that, when they talked about how we had given them a money machine back in the day. I mean, you remember that, right? I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, we gave them a printing press,
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Mm-hmm. It was one of the first... I think it was the only one that the United States Treasury has ever given away.
Yep, that's true.
Like how to actually print money. It's the first one that ever came from Treasury. But, I mean, and that's the point. They were like, well, we want to secure their money like we're securing ours. Like, we don't suspect counterfeiting when it gets outside of our hands. So that is our arrogance, again, as a nation. And what we have done around the world is that we'll go overstep our bounds, calling people names, and then they will be the exact one that's fighting against us. We funded the people who now are terrorizing everybody else.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, usually we have a segment of the show called Chatterbox. We kind of read... comments from social media, but let me read this one now from Eddie from Kentucky, and he said, "Well, George," he said that. Hold on here, let me pull it up here. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do so much this morning because of my late night last night. He said that Joe Biden used the words that we will follow them to hell as well, and I guess he's directing that comment to you, Jerome. And he did. I think Joe Biden mentioned that during the week.
But that's my point. We're using those words. Because we are trying to tame down the saber rattling that we normally do in this country. So don't believe that that's not a strategy to do, because what is going on the Fox News channel, for example, is that's all they're saying is stuff like that. So I guess to temper that, when you give speech and you're standing out in front of crowds, you want to be forceful. And they're going back to old ways of doing that. So don't look at it by saying... Because they are apples and horses. Like, they are not even the same to compare George Bush saying that to Joe Biden saying that. That is not even comparable. That was a nice try, but it's not comparable, right? The issue is that we normally call names. We call names when you – there's a couple of conditions that you call names, right? People get on Minister Farrakhan back in the days for calling names, but he made the statement of – you know, just like in Palestine, you throw rocks at tanks when you don't have bullets. So you resort to calling names when you don't have the ability to forcefully make people do stuff. You try to make them mad. It's why George H.W. Bush used to call him Saddam opposed to Saddam, because they were doing that intentionally to show a sign of disrespect by not pronouncing that man's name correctly. So you have to look at war games like war games.
Oh, well, you're giving him more credit. I just thought he couldn't say the name, but still he is. All right. Now, here's my next question here. Okay, so now here's my next question, and this is the thing that I'm concerned about, Mr. Elias. You know, we're talking about arming the rebels. Do you think that's a good idea?
It wasn't a good idea in the past, Jay. So I'm not going to agree with that now, because, I mean, yeah, that's what we did before. We armed the rebels. Now look what happened. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, if it's not a good idea, then why are we doing it?
At some point, we armed them.
Huh?
What did you say, Jerome?
I said Al-Qaeda was the rebels at some point, and we armed them during the Afghan war, the 8-year war with Russia. We armed those guys.
I know we did. Now, here's my question. So I think we're doing this because we don't want to put American troops on the ground. But, Jerome, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Jane earlier in the set. How do we have a comprehensive military strategy campaign if we don't put boots on the ground? How can we accomplish this? I don't see how.
Okay, right. And so here's back to my point in leadership. It is our arrogance to believe that we can control everything that happens in the world. We need to maintain some type of support with those people who are fighting their own war, right? We can't put American lives in something just because we say it's in the name of national interest when it's not technically affecting us. So we can have interest in a lot of things. I had interest in the football game because I bet money against somebody else in that division standing, say that they should lose, but I don't go around trying to affect every other team just because I want my team to win. You know what I mean? Like, so we have to look at the bigger picture to say the United States' interest is to stay strong and stable and have a secure defense. But when we start tampering with other nations, we are still creating our own enemies. And so it is very complicated to figure out who your enemy is at one time or the other, because just like in Syria, the government there doesn't like us, the rebels don't like us. Who do you arm? Because they're eventually going to use the weapons that you supply on you.
Eventually. Exactly. It's a tough call. It's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I mean, it's really tricky.
Right.
And
right. So,
you know,
so it goes back to the path of least resistance. Airstrikes is what you do. We're not giving them weapons, but we're helping you advance your cause, but we're not making you strong enough to come back and fight us. That is a smart thing to do. We have a smart president. You don't give them jack.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, I'm the former military guy here amongst us, and, you know, and the thing that we would always do is that you're taught in the military that you use their air campaign to weed them out, get them out, and then at that point you eliminate them on the ground. And even though, you know, it's been a while since I've been in the military, I just think the strategy, it's somewhat flawed, I think, because once you get them out, you know, we're expecting these rebels to clean them up. And I'm not sure how, and maybe it is. And like I said, when I was in, they didn't have drones. So, you know, maybe this is a new world that we're in, Jerome, but if you just look at, you know, military war doctrine, at least when I was in, that was always that you flush them out and then you eliminate them on the ground.
Well, military war doctrine is the same. You still got to flush them out. So what they're doing is they're saying, we are going to weaken them, right, so that you can come out and do your job. We're not going to make you beat them on the ground, but somebody needs to step out there, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to go bomb them and then put people on the ground to create a government that we're not going to control anyway. So we're going to be a cooperative partner, and we will weaken them with airstrikes until you get your act together on the ground to get some resistance, get your courage up. Right? We can't do all of that stuff. That's not we're not supposed to. So airstrikes is our contribution to say we'll fight 50% of this war for you. You don't have planes. You don't have this. We'll take out all of this. Now y'all need to step up. We're giving them room for them to fight their own war. We can't do it, Jay. Like, that is not our war, because we get no advantage as a nation when one side wins or the other.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
So it makes no strategic and according to, you know, I don't want to go back to the Constitution and all that good stuff, but we can't fight wars that does not have some direct benefit to the U.S., unlike what George Bush did, but that's a whole other story. But it has no strategic advantage to us.
All right, one last question before we close the set out, and I'll start with you, Mr. Elias. What type of problem will this cause the next administration? Because I think we all can agree that this will not be resolved in the couple of years that he has left. What type of problem do you think this is proposed to the next administration?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what kind of. I mean, you know, did we know that the Al Qaeda was going to do what they do when they get in the weapons? I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but that one, it's open for discussion to me on that one. I don't know. I can't predict the future on that one.
Right. What about you, Jerome? What do you think, man? What type of problem that this will Will it be a problem? I know it's not going to be resolved before the next administration's in, but what do you think, man, is going to happen with the next administration coming into office being handed this situation?
Well, you say that like that's a bad thing, like that's in our control. Like,
no,
I'm just saying, though, like you're saying they're being handed something. They're being handed the world as it is at whatever given time. So, you know, to even ask why there's unrest in some part of the world is just kind of, I mean, somebody's going to be fighting someplace. Like, there's going to be a revolution someplace. Like, we cause so much damage in the world, it is not funny. You know what I mean? Like, we upset the nature of Libya. We supported the Arab Spring in Egypt. Like, we are kind of culpable in all of this unrest that's going on in the world, and now we have to deal with it. So, you know, groups that are out there that is just springing up, which is going to be the children of another group that's going to be a group that we never heard of in 2 years, that group is going to come up and raise. You can't stop that. I mean, it's like saying, how do we stop people from robbing gas stations? I don't think that's ever happened since they had gas stations.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's just, you know, it's a tough world we live in. Like you said, you know, grow a pair, get ready, because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, you know, they have to protect themselves. Good set, guys. Good set. All right, coming up next, the rest of the show will be NFL heavy. Oh, my God, a lot to talk about. The commissioner, should this guy step down? I mean, this is ridiculous. Folks, it's all coming up. You're listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is your resident map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show. A show for women, by women.
So good, so good. loving you.
Did anyone in the NFL see this second videotape before Monday?
No.
No one in the NFL?
No one in the NFL, to my knowledge, and I've been asked that same question, and the answer to that is no. We were not granted that. We were told that that was not something we would have access to. On multiple occasions we asked for it, and multiple occasions we were told no. I understand that there may be legal restrictions on them sharing that with us, and we've heard that from attorney generals and former attorney generals.
You know, there are people saying they just don't buy that no one in the NFL had seen this tape.
Well, that's a fact, and I think it's a fact because the criminal justice system and law enforcement were following the laws.
Is our caller number, 347-850-1272, J. Rouse Show, Serious Edition, hanging out with my boy, Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
And say good morning to the very, I shouldn't say very lovely, that wouldn't sound right, but to the very smart, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. How are you, sir?
Lovely, smart, young fella. All right, I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right. Say good morning to Angela, listening to us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be there in a couple of months. Thank you for tuning in. Also to Chris out of Missouri, who's listening to the show. And, of course, huge presence in Atlanta, Georgia, with Missy CC's listening from there. Also a guy by the name of Daryl and Rick. Welcome into the show. And, of course, as always, you can tune in. You can come on down to our world-famous chat room and hang out with us. Looks like we have the big three in the chat room, St. Clinton, Kavina Man, and Eazy-E. Good morning. Welcome to you guys. And, of course, you can listen there, or you can listen from any place on the web, as long as you can find the dial. Or you can come and hang out in our world-famous chat room and put your comments there. Either way, we'll find you, and we'll read some of the information that you give us or say to us through social media. And hopefully we'll get Twitter going here real soon. Keep getting chastised on this. You guys need to get a Twitter account. We have one, but, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to need someone to run it. And it's tough because, you know, I have my face in the middle of all types of stuff. Y'all just don't know what I do during the breaks. It's a rough, rough life being the host of the Serious Side. Well, folks, listen, this week has been a very bad week for the NFL. I mean, and the reason why we're talking about it is because, first of all, we're huge sports fans. But the thing is, a lot of the things that are going on in the NFL are things that everyday people deal with. And so what you're really starting to see is the preferential treatment for star athletes when they commit some of the things that if you and I, average Joe Smo, if we committed these things, we'd be in a very bad situation. I think the first thing I want to talk about, because the next two segments are actually dedicated to the NFL, so much is going on. You know, first of all, let's talk about this whole Ray Rice situation. Now, we've talked about it on and off, but, you know, obviously, you know, it's a huge news story, and we'd be remiss if we didn't have a conversation about it. Let me start with you, Mr. Elias. When you look at the facts and everything surrounding this whole thing dealing with Ray Rice, I want to put the bullseye, you know, strictly on the commissioner's head at this point. As you heard in the lead in post, the commissioner said that the NFL had no record, no one in the NFL saw this tape, that the NFL asked for this tape, and they were told that they could not get this. Now, that's what he said earlier in the week, but as we all know, that there was an AP report. I was going to play it for you, but, you know, we don't need to play it. There's an AP report that says, wait a minute, they did get that tape. a law enforcement person said, we sent it to league offices, and someone on the other end of the telephone call said, hey, this, you're right, this is terrible, which meant, which confirms that the league received this. I mean, I guess my question for you is, why is Commissioner Goodell doing this? This is not good for the league. What interest does he have in lying and saying that the league didn't see this tape, Mr. Elias?
Well, you know, some of the hardest words to say is I messed up. The bottom line is he should have got out in front of this from the beginning and suspended Ray Rice. He should have. I mean, and not just for two games. You know, he come on, man. He's lying, and everyone in the world knows he's lying. You have to be an idiot not to know that he's lying. Hell, come on, man. If he didn't see the tape, someone in his administration has seen the tape, and they should have brought it to his attention. The bottom line, he's lying, and he don't want to come out and appear like, hey, look, I messed this thing up. I should have suspended Ray Rice for more than two games. Should have suspended him for the entire year. He should have. But the bottom line is, he should have, from the very beginning, dealt with this situation. But he's washed his hands of it, and he's making Ray Rice the scapegoat. So Ray Rice did what he did. It was deplorable. But what the commissioner is doing right now is deplorable too, because he should have just told the truth from the beginning. I did see the tape. And here's something else I don't understand. Okay, he's dragging her out of the elevators, all of the first tape we've seen. What do you think happened to her in that elevator to make him drag her out?
Well, now let me say this now. Now, if you listen to the audio of the tape, the security guy who was walking by once he had pulled her out of the elevator, he asked, was she drunk? And I guess being in Vegas, I mean, or wherever they were, I think they were in Atlantic City. That, you know, you see this a lot, people who are sloppy drunk on their ass. So, I mean, you know, that could have been a legitimate question. I mean, people are so,
no,
hindsight's 2020.
You see them walk into the elevator, and all of a sudden he's dragging her out, and they're not when you're drunk, when you're that drunk, you're stumbling into an elevator. You're not walking into an elevator.
Well,
they walk right into that elevator.
I'm saying,
walking in there.
Right, but what I'm saying, Mr. Elias, is that they went to a different floor. The security guy didn't see her walk in the elevator. That's what I was talking about. The security guy said, well, you know, was she drunk? And so, I mean, I guess my point is, if you look at this tape, and you see him drag her out, if without talking to Ray Rice or talking to whoever's on the ground, I mean, she could legitimately be drunk. I've seen people pass out like that before.
Okay, Jay, what I'm saying is the commissioner said that Ray Rice, you know, he was suspended. He was suspended from the beginning, right?
Two games.
So... okay, when you dragging your significant other out of, what do you think happened to her if you got suspended for two games? He's dragging out because she was drunk, so he got suspended for two games for that.
I agree with that.
And the bottom line is this dude, you know what he did was it was nasty, but the bottom line is, the commissioner should be held accountable for what he did. I don't care.
I agree.
It should be gone. I'm sorry. And he's still lying. And if that was someone of his players lying or doing the same thing he was doing, what do you think he would do to them? He would suspend them. He would get rid of them. So he needs to go.
You know, Jerome, when you look at this situation and you think about the NFL, now here's the thing that I'm gonna jump on what Mr. Elias just said. Do you think the commissioner should step down behind this nonsense?
No.
Why not?
Do you want the short answer, or do you like the long one? No.
No, that's interesting because you're one of the few people. I mean, well, that I've run into who said, you know, hey, no. Why not?
Well, I think as a society, we
we get a little crazy about your employer's responsibility towards what you do personally. And so I don't know why, and I've never really understood this either, why what you do on your job affects, or what you do in your personal life affects your job, right? So what happens if somebody says to you, hey, we heard you was at the club last night with some girl up in the corner, and that's not the type of employee that we want, right? Like, you can't make judgments externally until the police, until somebody gets arrested or you have some definitive thing happen one way or another. Now, I say, Ray Rice, did he play any games this year?
He no. played it, I think, a preseason game or something like that, but nothing official, no.
Okay, right. And so since he didn't play any, I say no harm, no foul. The commissioner did not let him skate through. He gave him a bad judgment initially, but he still didn't play. I mean, he long as he still, I can see if he played the whole year and then the commission went back and tried to impose some kind of penalty against him, but he still didn't play. I don't care if he suspended him for 10 seconds or 2 days. The final effect was he still did not play this year. And so I don't care when he imposed it. I'm just saying, like, he made whatever fault he made and made the correction. But it's not like he willfully just kind of made everybody swallow what happened and then said keep it moving. What happened is just like what's supposed to happen in a democracy and a society. The people made the complaint and somebody acted, right? What's going on in Ferguson, people made the complaint, the Justice Department came in. That is how it's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to actually make all of those judgments up front. So when your employers do that, I always found that to be problematic. It just seems kind of cynical because they will, pick favorites if your employer gets to do that, right? If your employer says, hey, this guy wasn't as bad as that guy and blah, 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 well, that gets to be hokey to begin with. So your employer should not, unless you are convicted of something, they shouldn't say that, make judgments on things that you do outside of it. Now, as far as the investigation goes, I can see where the commissioner had a problem when his fiance, now wife, came in to vouch for him and somehow said that we were in an argument or we were in a fight. Then he goes, oh, well, technically I have to wash my hands of it because if you get in a fight and somebody knocks you out, we don't know who started the fight, how it happens, without digging deep into somebody's relationship. Well, do you have time for that as an employer? So you get his statement and you get her statement and you say, I can't determine it from there. Now, whether he watched the videotape or not, whole another story. I think Elias covered that pretty well. But at the same time, he could have had it on his desk and not watched it. He may have done that on purpose. So, because once he got the statement from her, he might have said, there's no reason for me to investigate that anymore. But just to say, I think when you have women's groups and women's advocate stuff, everything is like, we need to set an example. And that is if I can say a shitty way of governing generally, that is a very poor way of making policy, is setting examples. Zero tolerance and all that stuff, we found that that's wrong, right? We got people in jail now for riding in the car with somebody who had drugs, and they get 10, 15 years, and they didn't even know the person had drugs in the car because we have zero tolerance. You were next to the person who did something wrong. The commissioner did not condone the act. He didn't act harsh enough, so now everybody wants to fire him. I think that's a horrible precedent.
Well, let's get out to the lines because I have a rebuttal.
Find him, take some money from him.
Okay, let's get out to the phone lines because the phone lines are lit up, but I definitely have some responses to what you said. Let's get out to her. I think this is Vanessa. Vanessa, is this you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry. Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Jerome. I love you, Jerome, but I have to.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Elias. I have to call and I guess go against what you just said. This is my point. I don't think that the NFL commissioner should resign. I don't think the NFL commissioner should be fired. I think that he lied through his teeth, and I think because it's all about money. If that Rice guy wasn't in it, it was all of it is money, Jerome and J.L. So I believe that he needs to step out for the rest of the year, just like they're going to do to Jay Rice. I don't think that he should resign or quit or be fired or any of that because he lied, but he did lie. And even if he didn't, Jerome, see it because the tape was sitting on his desk and he doesn't have time to check all of his employees and stuff, this man is in such a powerful position that he has people to do it for him. The company that I work for has a team to watch Facebook. They have a team to see what we're saying on Facebook about our company. People that are high up like that, they have a team to watch, check, read, and listen. So I do believe that because that was Rice's personal business when he slapped that girl and knocked her out, but I believe that, and none of the NFL people are role models to me. People pick, my husband right. always say this, people pick the wrong role models, and NFL players are not role models to me. Neither are singers. But in this case, how do we know if it's not some kind of moral clause in Ray Rice's or anybody else's contract that's in the NFL? Isn't there
well,
some kind
have
of
one.
Moral clause in there, Jay?
They do.
There is.
They do.
Okay,
yeah.
if
there is
a moral
yeah.
clause off in there, then what
right.
he did, he should be punished for it. Am I going to say that that young man needs to be kicked out and not play for the NFL? Shame on you, Vanessa. No, I'm not going to say that. But I do believe if you could punish that other guy about some dogs, then you can most certainly punish this young man for knocking his girlfriend out in the elevator. Regardless,
yeah.
Jerome, of mm-hmm. what happened before they stepped into that elevator, because I heard what you said, regardless of what happened, he could have walked away, walked out the elevator. He did not have to knock that girl out. So I'm not saying he should not play, and I'm not saying that the NFL man should step down. He lied, but he needs to be punished too, though.
You know, I agree
yeah.
with you. I do agree with you. I mean, because I was not even addressing him per se, like, for what he did, because I agree 100% with what you're saying. I am saying the commissioner in this situation on how his actions were, I'm saying the commissioner should not be fired for it. If he gets fined, if they decide to suspend the commissioner, whatever, but he didn't commit the act, so we can't give him the death penalty of losing his job for something he didn't do, although
right.
he was negligent, right? So everybody, you know, it's like saying somebody came in, did their job, and I work customer service or something, and I called in and gave somebody some bad information. It was like, hey, that was egregious. You shouldn't have did it. You should be fired. Everybody has a mechanism for doing bad on your job at some point that you get demoted or suspended or whatever, but you just don't fire him because he didn't suspend them as fast as he should have, because the overall effect is he's not playing. Now, I also agree that Ray Rice should be banned from the league. That's silly, too. But
well, now, let me jump in there, because there's a couple of things, and I'm going to leave your mic open, Vanessa. You can hang as long as you can. I think, you know, a lot of the things that you had said, Jerome, earlier, I definitely wanted to have a counterpoint on these, because one of the things you mentioned, you said, well, you know, an employer, you know, they get to a point where they overreach their bounds, you know, they shouldn't get involved in your personal life. And see, it's a little different when you're talking about the NFL, because the NFL has an image to sell. It's all about their image. And if the league, and this is a commissioner who has come into this league saying that we're not going to tolerate any of this, we're not going to tolerate you lying to me, you know, we're not going to tolerate you doing some of the things that you've done. But here's the reason why a lot of people are looking at the commissioner kind of cross-eyed. Because, first of all, let's go back to, and Mr. Elias, I'm going to bring you in on this as well. Let's go back to this whole thing with the video gate. You know, he destroyed evidence that people are saying that the New England Patriots, they cheated in the Super Bowl. But he destroyed
right.
that evidence, Mr. Elias. He came
yes.
out and lied on Ray Rice. Now, he said that Ray Rice really didn't tell him what was going on in that elevator. That's a lie, okay?
Yeah.
So now, and one of the things he said to the New Orleans Saints doing Bounty Gate last year, Do you remember this? He said ignorance, because what Sean Payton said was, I didn't know this was going on. And he said to Sean Payton, wait a minute. You know, bottom line is, you're the head coach. So
and
ignorance is not an excuse. He was suspended for a whole year. So how can you, a year later, after you told Sean Payton, hey, you know what, it happened under your watch, you were the head coach, you should have known it was going on. Ignorance is not an excuse. But then you're going to sit here and go, hubba, 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 well, I didn't know it coming to the office. That's bull crap. And then there's another thing we need to look at. He and the owner of the Baltimore Ravens are boys. They're tight like that. So, I mean, there are so many, there's a huge cloud hanging over this commissioner when it comes to this. And it's almost, Mr. Elias, is do as I say, not as I do. And I disagree. This guy should be suspended, you know, and he should be. And I think what a lot of people are saying is that this is domestic violence. Listen, 47% of the NFL players, current players in this league, have had some type of 47% of all arrests, I should say, let me get it right, all arrests of NFL players, 47% of it is domestic violence. 47% domestic violence. And so you have a guy, you have two guys this weekend who will be playing in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were arrested for domestic violence. And so when we sit back and look at this thing, you know, the commissioner, hey, I think he should be fired because he lied. But, listen, I'll go with you guys. But something needs to happen to him because, once again, ignorance, Mr. Elias, is not an excuse.
I you know, man, this is a first because I agree with you on this one.
Oh, my God, write this down.
You know, this dude, I mean, he lied. I mean, he just straight up lied. And I, you know, if an employer... I mean, he didn't, okay, he had nothing to do with the Ray Rice case, right? Now, you mean to tell me that the TMZ can get a hold of this tape and a powerful entity like the NFL couldn't get a hold of it? He's sitting in at it. And I mean, he's compounding lies on top of lies, man. And that's what's irritating me. Just tell the truth. Just say, hey, look, man, look, we had the tape. We messed up. And, you know, I got to fall on the sword. I got to do this. I mean, the bottom line is, he should be suspended for a year, maybe lose his job. I don't know. But anytime somebody else in his league does that, and I got to agree with somebody when they said in the chat room, this cat is known for details. Anytime he forms an investigation, he's known for his details. So him sit there and say, well, I knew nothing about it. We knew nothing about this. Is a complete blatant lie. So if he lied about that, I mean, you know, stop, man. Just stop.
His credibility is flawed.
Yes.
Because if you have a guy, you can't sit here. I don't want someone to be the judge and juror, and you are a liar. I just can't see it. Now, hold on. Let's get out to the phone lines because we've had Stiletto waiting for a while. Oh, he's gone. I'm sorry, Stiletto. Oh, he's back here. Let's bring him in. Good morning, Stiletto. Welcome into the Serious Side, man. What's your comments?
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, peace and blessings to everybody.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
How is it that the women can collectively come together and get things done, but when people of color come together, we can't get things done in the fashion that the women can?
What do you
what
mean by that?
What is the element? Well, just like this situation. You get women come together for whatever it is. They come together, they put pressure on the law enforcers, and then the law enforcers, they put them into action. We come together, let's say, like this Ferguson case, or going down through the years in Trayvon Martin. But there's always something that comes in and convolutes the information. Why does it happen to us, and why doesn't it happen to them?
You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I have no idea. I think that because you're talking about the NFL, I think because there is a fence around this organization, it's not like you're dealing with multiple countries, multiple states, multiple counties, multiple situations like that. You know, it's a smaller task. When you look at the NFL compared to what's going on from a racial, from racial violence and things of that nature, the NFL is a drop in the bucket. It's a more controlled environment, I think. And I think that's the reason why you can see action faster in this instance, because it is a controlled environment. It's not like the NFL, it's a state amongst 50. I mean, so I think that's the reason why. That's just my opinion. I get your point. I really do.
Could we call it the unseen hand of racism?
Well, no. Well, explain that, because I'm intrigued by that response. What do you mean by that?
Well, racism was seen with chains, whips, castration. Get out there and pick the cotton. Now it comes in what's called, like you heard Dr. Press Wilson say, racism is a system. Anything that they can do to help support that system to maintain their equality, their gain, and no competition, sometimes there may be things that we can't see or understand. Why is it the Ferguson Police Department with 75% people of color and 94% people white there? We go on with our everyday lives, texting and talking and taking our women out, men taking the women, whoever, and having our fun, we're not paying attention to those. So those are the small unseen hands of our racism. Also, you remember Ray Lewis said these laws that they're putting into football, no helmet to helmet. Now think about it. These laws benefit the offensive side of the football. The majority of the defense has the brothers on it. And everybody knows who plays football. Sometimes you can't avoid a helmet to helmet. So now what they've done, they come up with a system that they devised to get the money back from the black side of the people. Very slick move.
Wow, I tell you you're deep this morning, Stiletto. I didn't see all this coming. You're deep on me, my brother. Let me say this, and of course, as always, we appreciate you calling in, man. You're one of our star listeners, and we really and truly appreciate you listening. I don't even know where to start with that conversation, I guess. I guess he's saying that if you look at it, there's some institutional racism going on. I don't know. When he talked about the defense and the offense, I think it's just a situation where people like to see flash and they want to see more points. But he could have a point there. But getting back to this situation here, when you look at the fact that the league has so many arrests when it comes to domestic violence, that 47% of all arrests stem from that, the league has a problem. And I've always said this, Mr. Elias, the fact that, people seem to get off because they can play ball. People seem to get off because they're good at their sport. I've never seen a situation where, you can get in trouble multiple times and still have a job. It's flattering. Not flattering, but it's flabbergasting. Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about, you're saying it's domestic violence. I think, Jay, it's violence, period. Look at the man, and I can't remember all these sports people names because I'm not a man, but the one who killed the Hispanic guy who killed the black guy in the car, and he's trial right now. Okay,
right.
Look at the one last week who in Houston had custody of his little boy for the weekend or his child for the weekend, whooped a 4-year-old with the switch where it had cuts and cuts and bleeding spots in him.
Yes,
it's violence, Jay, not just domestic. It's
violence. I agree. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Vanessa. But what I'm saying is the numbers are telling us that 47% of all arrests of NFL players stem around domestic violence. There was one NFL player that had 40 arrests, Ms. Elias, in 1 year.
Ooh.
He was 40 arrests in 1 year. And the guy still was on the roster. Look at Leonard Little. Leonard Little killed somebody, right? Vehicular, he was drunk, and he killed somebody, and yet and still he played in the NFL. I think that when you start looking at this from an overall perspective, the league has a problem, and they try to brush this stuff under
the
fence.
It's not the league,
Jay.
It's not the league, only it's America, man. Let's call it what it is.
Well, yeah, but we're
talking.
Well, that's true, but we're talking about the league. I understand that.
Well, when you say what you're saying is people. I mean, people of privilege always get off, Jay. So let's don't say that, because the guy in Texas that killed four people, that's drunk driving. He let him off. I can't remember the name of what it was, but
no, I know what you're talking about. We talked about that,
right? So I mean, it's people of privilege. So let's don't just say because you can play ball. It's people of privilege.
Well, but see, no, but
so
let's not do that either, because what I'm
Why
hearing
not?
Is well, look, well, because what I'm hearing here is that by us calling these guys out, for some odd reason, you know, we're attacking the blackness, and that
so,
y'all don't want to hear that
what
either.
What I'm saying is people of privilege. That's what I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, I mean, but you framed it.
I didn't say black, white, or whatever. It's people.
Well, but you kind of framed it that way. You know.
If you got money, I never said black or white. What I'm saying.
I'm just telling you how I took it. That's all I'm telling you.
That's what you heard.
That's how you took it.
I'm just being honest.
There's black people of privilege. There's white people of privilege. And I just said people of privilege. All I'm saying is just that. If you're privileged. You get off with certain things, and that's just the way that. I mean, that's the way the world is right now.
I understand.
I
really do. Yes, Jerome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say after LES that just because you heard that, Jay, when he said that, that is the societal problem that Stiletto was talking about, right? Because the problem is racism is intertwined into the actions of the individuals that even in privileged world that the who the individuals are. So race, our focus is on this because they're white athletes, but I am telling you, if you look at Ben Roethlisberger's case,
yeah.
I don't think anybody's talking about the fact that you had somebody rape some woman, alleged, lock her in the bathroom, have somebody watching the door while this happened, and
wow.
Nobody's outraged at that as much as they are on this. And I know they were outraged at the time, but
yeah.
I think he's been able to go and play in the NFL without even that stigma.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that,
a lot of people say things.
Well, and the reason I say that is because, you know, I'm a diehard sports guy, and I read a lot of the blogs, and I read a lot of the comments and remarks every time a story comes up with Ben, and just like with Michael Vick, there are a lot of people out there who just cannot stand him, and every time they get the opportunity to call him a rapist or, you know, Michael Vick a dog killer, they don't let that moment pass. So there are a lot of people out there who are still staying on top of that. Tell you what, we need to step out and take a break. The rest of the show is dedicated to the NFL. We're going to talk about the whole thing with Adrian Peterson next. You know, once again, domestic violence, or is this a situation where a kid or father that's disciplining his son? I mean, when do we go too far? You're listening to The Serious Side. We'll be right back after this. Don't go nowhere, folks.
My best friend's sister, she had a lot of friends, just not enough time. So she got really good at texting while driving. I mean, she was amazing, but ever since the accident, everything has changed. She still has a lot of friends, but now she has no time. Texting while driving, it's dumb, and it's deadly.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. Mom, little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight,
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Major story coming out of the NFL. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson was indicted today on charges of reckless injury to his son. Reportedly, this stems from him allegedly disciplining his 4-year-old son back in May. Peterson testified before a grand jury a few weeks ago, and the indictment came down today. And the Vikings have now deactivated Peterson.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online, radio at its best. Let's say good morning to our panelists once again. Let's say good morning to the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Doing outstanding. Of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm well, thanks.
And a colleague from the J. Ryle Show is kind of hanging out with us this morning until she goes and prays Jesus. Good morning, Vanessa. How you doing?
Yes, I am. I'm well, thank you.
Once again, the call number is 347-850-1272. As we continue our conversation about the NFL and some of the things that have been going on, we mentioned that the second set, it's been a bad week for the NFL. Not only do we have a situation where, you know, the Ray Rice situation and the NFL commissioner, I think this is more about the NFL commissioner than Ray Rice at this point, the fact that he was not being honest. But now we have a situation with, you know, Minnesota Vikings star running back Adrian Peterson, who is all of the offense in Minnesota. This guy was deactivated for today's game because of he was indicted on charges of that he hurt his kid, that he, you know, child abuse, I guess, Mr. Elias. And so, you know, I saw the pictures and I said to myself, man, if, you know, my mom would be in jail right now if, you know, my mother,
yeah,
my grandmother. I mean, so let me ask you this question, because first of all, they said that Adrian Peterson's been very cooperative, and he said, look, this is the ass whoopers I used to get when I was young. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that, boy, there are whaps all over this young man's legs. First of all, Mr. Elias, what do you think about the situation? Do you think Adrian Peterson should be arrested for, you know, basically beating his son's tail?
No. I'm sorry. I know I had webs all over my legs. I got my ass.
They don't look good, Mr. Elias. They don't look good at all.
Okay. They didn't look good with my ass, Jay. They didn't look good. I want my mother and my father arrested because my father took his belt buckle and was beating the hell out of me with it. My wounds healed, though. So damn that. No. I want both of them arrested. So no. And my mother used to make me go outside and get a peace tree switch and whip me with it. We were talking about this last night. My brothers were over here. My mother used to beat us with ironing cords, peace tree switches, and all that other stuff. So, no. I'm sorry. I don't know. If he's disciplining his son, he had the right to discipline his son. Now, if he went overboard with it, yeah. But
it looks like he went overboard with it. Well, it looks like he went overboard with it. I mean, it looks like, he really beat that little boy's tail. I mean, there are waps all over. And the thing is, I think the other part of it is that they also have audio of him talking about how he was tearing him up and how he was trying to get him to, you know, trying to get that meat peeled. I mean, if you know, it's not looking good for Mr. Peterson, because I think the audio is what's going to hurt him too, Mr. Elias. But I heard someone else trying to get in. Go ahead.
My mother whooped me. They wanted to whoop me just to make it look pretty.
But I don't know. It just doesn't sound right. You talked about how, you know, yeah, boy, I was trying to, you know, I really got that ass good this time, bragging on the fact that he beat his son's tail and how he was trying to. I mean, yeah, it's you can go out there and find it. But someone else was trying to talk. Who else was trying to get in? I'm sorry. Was it you, Vanessa? You have a comment?
No, it wasn't me. But I think I was trying to tell Mr. Elias, we all caught whoopings back in the day with switches. My mom used to tell me to go out there and get a switch. And one time I came back with this little bitty switch. She went out there and got the tree and beat me with it because I came back with this little bitty stick. But nowadays in times, like my husband was saying, you can't let other people see blood and meat showing of a four-year-old or any other child. You can't do it, Elias. It's not the same time. Now, you can beat children and do whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own home, but not when you got to send them back to the ex-wife. You follow what I'm saying, Mr. Elias?
I follow what you're saying, but that's
My thing is, he had to send that child back to the mama. And if they wasn't on good terms, that wasn't wise to do that. Now, if he, I'm not trying to tell you, say the child abuse the man, but I am saying that nowadays you got to get fear in children at an early age. But you put it in the child that's going to be staying in your house. Not send that child back to the baby mama drama with blood and meat showing. And the child is four, Elias. What is he going to get out of it at four? I mean, you beat a child like that at 10, but four, Elias? That child ain't going to understand what that man was saying, Elias, at 4 years old. Not at four.
I can remember at 5 years old, my father putting the fear of God in my heart.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right, though.
A long time ago, you could put the fear of God. But nowadays, children can pick up the phone and dial 911 and call in on their parents and have their parents arrested.
Yeah,
it's not the same world. It's just not.
I can't see. You know, Jerome, and let me get your comments on. I can't see beating a four-year-old like that. I mean, he really whipped that boy's tail. And, you know, he got his legs, made him pull his pants down. I mean, you know, not a four-year-old. I mean, I can even see you doing that to a 10-year-old. I know when I was cheering, my grandmother used to wear me out. But I don't recall getting beat down like that at the age of four. Not with no switch like that.
Well, all right. Well, I want to say this to Vanessa. I think they implemented the 800 number when we was we were like about 10 or so. They put in that stuff a little late because they were still charging for long distance for me back in the day. So they put in an 800 number. And I remember them saying, you call wherever you want. They can come get you up out of here. Like, they did not care whether to be serious. You get a switch, you bring one back too small. All of us have the same experience. Exactly. But that is why... There's a couple of reasons why I love black people. There's a billion reasons why. But one is we share a common experience that we cannot translate to anybody else. And I think that this is another case where white folks understanding that translation part, they go off the rails. Like, they don't understand that. When we say beat our kids, we don't mean kill them. And when we say that somebody took a switch or extension cord or my mother threw a shoe at me, like whatever that stuff is, because I had all of that stuff happen, you know, shoes and all of that thrown at me. Hey, she said, don't touch that. I said, no, and she's on the phone, so she don't want to, you know, tell a person on the phone that she's disciplining her kids. So she take a shoe and whoop. She caught me and my brother. She's actually pretty good at that. But anyway, all I'm saying is that stuff is hard to translate. And raising black children, obviously, kind of works a little bit differently than raising white children because them kids who shot up Columbine need they butts whooped, right? You have white kids going in shooting up schools and stuff because they mad at their mama. You don't see nobody, you ain't seen no black kids ever putting their hands on their mama. I just want to say that for the record because you still know from that beating that you got when you was little that she may flip on you at any given particular point. So, you know disciplining your child, all I'm saying is does not translate well from black to white in a different communities. And everybody wants to use extreme cases of abuse, and it's just like the whole thing about the football player and the domestic violence stuff. We use extreme cases to make policy, and we cannot continue to do that. We need to be more thoughtful and responsible in using individual cases. And just because he got a switch and beat his kid or whatever, you knew, like you said, that he was in a divorce situation where he had they were going to two different households, and she may report you for that. He should get in trouble for it, but that whole arresting for abuse thing, I think if it was a black jury or a grand jury, I don't think he would even got indicted.
Well, you know, the thing is, my mom, you know, God bless her, she, when I got older, I remember, you know, situations that would arise, and we'd talk about, you know, the beat downs from back in the day. And my mother, you know, I remember her apologizing to me. She says, you know, the thing is, we lived in a different world back then, son. And she apologized. She said, because, you know, there should have been a more thoughtful approach, but, you know, I reacted the way I was, you know, I was raised. And she said, but that wasn't the right thing to do. To beat a kid with an extension cord, you know, I mean, you think about how they beat slaves back in the day. I used to have to go to school with long sleeve shirts on because my mother had beaten the hell out of me, and I had used, you know, the end of the extension cord with the bends all over my arms and back. And my mother said, you know, and she apologized to me profusely. I said, my goodness. She says, no way should a kid be beat that way. But we didn't know any better, you know. And she said, so the thing is, what?
In your mother's defense, what did you do? Because that may be more important than why you got an extension cord for a belt. I just want to say in her defense, she's apologizing to you as an adult, but your butt is here today because you're not off the rails being a serial killer someplace thinking that you can get away with anything because she beat you with an extension cord.
I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I did. I'm still kind of mad about it, too. You're bringing up some personal, you know, I was trying to put that out of my mind, though. Thank you.
All right, sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a tender moment for me. I'm still traumatized behind that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think the punishment warrant the crime. You know, but you know, I'll talk about that on Wednesday during 10 good minutes. But I guess the thing is when you look at it, and it goes back to what we've always talked about, how the cultures are different. We talk about how I've always been a firm believer that parents should be able to raise their kids the way they want. And, you know, there are so many stories of, you know, I remember we had it on one of the Before We Go segments where we talked about how this parent got in trouble because she cursed at her kid. Was that 2 weeks ago? I mean, I think that some things people just need to stay out your business. You know, but I saw the pictures. Like now to this day, I can never imagine taking a switch to my. I got my behind whooped with a switch, and everybody knows the story. Go outside and bring one in, and you bring one in too small. Guess what? It's lights out for you. So you had to go and say, "Dang, you know, this is not fair." Because I know if I come in with something smaller, it's going to be worse, and if I come in with something big, I'm going to receive the brunt of the punishment. So it's a bad situation to put a kid in. But we all have gone through this in our lives, you know, in our lives. But like my mom said, I don't think it makes it right. And for me, I would never beat a child with a switch. Now I'll get a belt to him, but I won't use a switch because I remember having to put alcohol. Huh?
What if that belt leaves marks?
Well, you have to get a big wide belt where it won't leave marks, Mr. Elias. You have to be smart about this. Make sure they have on some jeans. Some big thick jeans, so it just get enough just to sting them. But even if it did, listen. Well, but see, first of all, I'm not going to just beat my kids. I think the most I've ever spanked my children, I may give them like 3 good whaps, and you know, but they're big, strong, powerful whaps, and so those 3 whaps probably equate to about a 10-minute behind whooping from a female because I'm trying to knock their damn booty off their body, and you know, but the thing is that for me. You know, I have girls, too, and I think that's different. I think that if I had a boy, I would probably be a little bit more tougher on him because I want him to righteous to me. I would, Jerome. I think I would.
Yeah, you wouldn't go beating him with a pillow. Like, the issue is that you – I'm just saying, like, that's what we're essentially talking about, being a timeout or hitting him with a pillow. Because could possibly leave a mark, we shouldn't consider. But here's the thing. We talk about this all the time, why these kids don't have respect or don't fear adults. And you know why?
That's
because they don't get beat when they're little. There is something to
that. Yeah.
Right? Because technically that sits in the back of your mind knowing that that adult will go all out on your butt. And like I said, I remember my grandfather said that. We were all probably in our 20s, and my grandfather was sitting there talking about, you know, I still take all of y'all out. And we laughed at him, but technically we weren't really laughing at him because we knew that that man had shot somebody. Like, he has a shotgun. No matter how old he was, he still didn't have fear in him. We don't, like, you know what I mean? So these kids going around thinking as you turn, like, 13 or 14, swelling up to adults, like, what you going to do? Are you crazy? That's because you didn't oppress them enough when they was little. I think black people had it right in raising our kids, and we started raising our kids like white folks, giving them time out, and now they think they can beat you. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I know I'm being petty about that, but I'm
serious when I say get what you're saying. Yeah.
That you're going to end up fighting your kid if you do not beat them when they're little. You're going to fight. They're going to fight you.
I agree. You have to instill that fear in them at a very young age. Just bring in one of our one of the big three. Easy's calling in this morning. Good morning, Easy. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. How are you this morning?
Doing great, man. What are your comments on this topic?
Good morning.
Well, I mean, if anybody didn't see the pictures, then they really can't comment on this because they weren't just on his butt. They were all over that kid's body. His arms.
Yeah, I saw him.
Inside of his thighs. They weren't even on his butt. That guy just took random swings at him in a race.
Yeah.
He didn't
even
like
hit
that.
Him in his middle area, in his genital area as well, yeah.
Right. He didn't say, bend over and take your punishment or, you know, grab him by the back of the neck or something and give a couple wallops on the rear end. This guy just started swinging that switch randomly because those marks on that kid are random. And they're not just little marks. Those marks are like 7-8 inches long, some of them. And, you know, this wasn't your average reprimanding your child with an object lesson. This was a rage. And 4 years old, to take a stick to somebody at four, in my personal opinion, it's just a little bit too dumb. Okay? It just is. I mean, the kid... can hurt that kid for life. Their bones are brittle at that age. And, you know, I just think 4 years old is too young. I think at least, I don't know, I guess I can't put an age on it, you know what I mean, because some kids grow up faster than other kids. But I just think 4 years old is just way too young. And I posted some pictures in the chat room. If anybody wants to go look at them, they'll see what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen them. That's why you're...
Yeah, they are. They're pretty bad, and that's why, you know, he beat that kid, and to beat a 4 year old like that, I mean, it almost looked as if he was a runaway slave. I mean, it was not good.
It was random.
Yeah, they didn't look good, and that's why I said that, you know, you can't get to a point where you beat a kid like that, and I mean, he beat the hell out of that kid, and at four. A four-year-old, I mean, you know, I have a daughter that's eight, and I wouldn't put that kind of pressure on her. You're talking about a big, strong NFL running back wailing on this little kid, and I just think that it was wrong. But you know what it goes back to? Let's bring up the Michael Vick situation here real quick. You know, if this is what you know, and it's similar to what my mom said to me, if this is what you know, you don't know any different. And so I think that's the reason why Adrian Peterson is being very cooperative with the authorities, Mr. Elias, because he's like, okay, well, I really didn't do anything wrong because in my world, this is normal. But see, I think that's the problem within itself, that shouldn't be normal. You shouldn't beat a kid like that. And like Easy said, this kid had waps from the head to the toe. He had waps in his genital area. I mean, come on. You don't beat a kid like that.
Inside of his thigh, Jay. Inside
yeah, I know.
Thigh.
That's what I'm saying. You don't beat a kid like that, Mr. Elias, and I don't care what the kid has done.
And, Jay, there was like, you know.
You don't care if he shot up a whole group of high school kids. You don't care what he's done, right?
But, see, but Mr. Elias, so but see, now what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, listen, I agree that you discipline a kid. I don't have any problems with you spanking the kid's tail. But what he did to that child, Mr. Elias, you know, like Easy says, go look at all the pictures because there are some out there. Go look at all
that.
Of them.
I just looked at them.
So there's no way you can justify him beating that kid like that.
Jay, if you look at the ones on his thigh, there's like four or five or six different marks on him. If he used a switch or whatever he used, that means he hit him four different times in that thigh or five different times. There, you can see the lines. There's like five different marks. I mean, five different hits.
Yeah, you spank a kid to get discipline, but you don't spank a kid, man. I mean, you don't do that. And so I'm not against anything anyone's saying. I agree with you, Jerome. I think that you have to beat. I've always said this, that, you know, I have friends that have, you know, white friends that have kids, and my daughters, they hang around white kids. And, you know, and I remember my daughter coming home one day, and she was saying, we were in the car, you know, we went Becky and her mom to the mall. And, you know, Becky's mom was talking to Becky, and Becky said, Mom, shut up. And I was like, ooh. You know, because I know if I came. Yeah, she told her to shut up. Shut up, Mom. Shut up. You're just being ridiculous. Shut up. This is a 15-year-old talking to a mother. And my daughter was like, I was like, ooh, because I know that if I even fix my mouth to say anything, I said, you damn Skippy, they would have to come and pull you out with an ambulance. Because, you know, you do. But that's because ambulance. You instill that discipline in them. Well, Mr. Elias, that's a figure of speech. Stop it.
That's why he got the extension cord. Go ahead. I'm talking.
No, I never hit my kid. I'll never do that, you know. Yeah, whatever, Mr. Elias. You two jokers are funny, man. What I'm saying is that I agree with you, Jerome. I think you should be able to put discipline on them. But you have to draw a line. And when you beat a kid like that, there's no reason why you should be spanking a kid and he got whaps around his genital areas. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, okay, not in defense of me, but I mean, I didn't see the picture. I just heard the story about him hitting with the branch. But nevertheless, I can say whether you're pinching that child or whatever, because I've seen that happen too when you get pinched. And there's no mark, exactly. But it hurts like a bug. He said, hey, stop that. And then the little kid looks at you because you pinched them, and it's like you have to discipline a child. It's not.
I agree.
I don't think it's really an option. If you, and I don't want to, you know, although, you know, we can watch National Geographic all day, I think in the animal kingdom generally, I think you oppress the youngsters so that they don't come back and kill you later. I think that's just the law of nature. And if you don't do it, you cannot, seriously, you can't just talk to them, like you said, and I've seen little white kids do that to their parents too, yelled at their parents. And I've said something to them. Like, because people, I've been in a public place where someone says something to their parents. Huh?
She says it all the time.
Yeah. And so, because we don't, not only do we not grow up that way, we don't even take that from nobody. So
right.
I'm not going to take you just because you 12 talking to me like you don't have no sense either. Now, you might well go talk to your parents, but you can't, you know what I mean? Like, we culturally don't deal with that well. So we have to know that that is the right way of dealing with children opposed to us not saying anything. They don't have enough information to be questioning you as an adult to begin with. Right?
I
never understood that. It's like, wait a minute, how come I can't go to McDonald's? It's like, oh, I had to pay the rent, and, you know, the lights was about to get cut. You're just like, shut up. Eat what I cook and be out, right? You cannot you cannot raise your children questioning your moves as adults. They don't have enough information.
Well,
so
I agree with that.
The line, say it again.
It's like growing up, and my mama used to say, either you're going to eat it, or you going to starve, because I'm not cooking a separate meal for you, Vanessa, because you don't like greens. I didn't eat any of that ethnic pork bones and greens, and I didn't eat that. And my mama used to just say, okay, well, you're going to bed hungry. And I have to go to bed hungry. My sister would try to sneak me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or chip on some brown sandwich, but, I mean, my mama didn't, you just didn't question when mama did the best she could and cooked and you didn't want to eat it. But I can't say where I work at, but I will say this. I have had to go and tell a lot of people's children, I need you to sit down and put that seatbelt on and stop all of that screaming and howling because their parents could not control them. And we had to go. The plane had to take off and you wouldn't sit down and put on your seatbelt. So sometimes I just say that we have to control these children. Yes, I agree. When they're 3 and 4 and 5 years old, but that does not mean that we have to draw blood. That don't mean we have to draw blood to control them. And I don't believe in timeout. I think timeout is stupid.
I do too.
I believe that timeout is stupid. If you don't want to do what I say, go to your room. I'm gonna start snatching TV cards and all that stuff out with your butt. Then you can go to sleep. But this time, don't go sit in the car. I don't believe in none of that. No. And when I have a grandchild, I ain't going to believe in none of that. But I do not believe in drawing blood. I just don't.
I agree with that.
Now, you know, the interesting thing about that is I have a friend, and hopefully she's not listening today, but we were talking about this a long time ago, and she goes, I believe me and my sisters could not go to sleep until we got a spanking. She goes, for a while, her mother kept saying, I am not whooping y'all tonight. And she said, we would giggle and we would laugh. Then we get a beating, everybody cry and go to sleep. She said, it took a while for us not to do that. She would threaten them and they wouldn't move.
she said, but it's interesting in retrospect. She said, I believe that we just kind of taunted my mother until she actually hit us.
Wow. It's a shame, and I agree. I think that, you know, time out to me, I've always wondered how can an, you know, because one of the things that parents always try to tell you is that, you know, you should be able to reason with the child, and you should be able to have a conversation with the child. Since you are talking to a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old, okay, you are a person that has graduate degrees and things of that nature. That kid is not going to understand what the hell you're talking about. And so for you to sit here and say, well, you know, you have to reason with a child, I'm not reasoning with no damn child. If I tell you that you need to do something, you need to do it. And like you said, Jerome, all this thing is why? Because I said so, that's why. And so, you know, it just goes back to what we've always talked about when we look at situations like this, you know, when parents are being obsessive with, you know, with their discipline. You know, I still think we have to acknowledge that, Mr. Elias. I understand what you're saying. I really do. I mean, because you know I know. But the bottom line is that it doesn't make it right, though, my friend. It doesn't make it right.
Okay.
Mr. Elias said, hey, no problem. I'm done with you. Yeah. I said what I had to say, and I'm going to stick to it. Okay, brother, I hear you. Would you beat your son like that? If you go back and you looked at the pictures, would you beat your kid like that?
I don't have a kid, Jay, so I can't.
No, but I'm asking you, Mr. Elias, if you would you if you had
a kid,
well, would you beat your nieces or your nephews like that?
No.
What they do?
Yeah,
I didn't see the picture.
Jerome, what they do? Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry.
All right. So let me get. Let's see. Let's get final thoughts on this topic because we definitely have to move on. Give me your final thoughts on this topic, Vanessa.
What did he say?
She gave it to him. I said,
I'm
give me
here.
Your final.
What did he say?
No, I said you. Give me your final. Give me your final topic. Final thoughts on this
I'm
topic.
I'm sorry, please. Jay. I was trying to parallel park in the church parking lot. you know what? I pray that people learn. Shut up, Jay. I pray that people learn how to chastise their children. They can't do it the way they used to do it, but we don't need these Columbine children growing up either. So I just say find the best way to chastise them, belt, switch, extension cord, but do it in your home and don't sit in the school with those whips. That's my final thought, and I'm sticking with it. Y'all be blessed.
All right.
Have a good day.
Vanessa, yeah. Boy, she brings her own style to the serious side. My goodness. Jerome, your final thoughts on this topic.
All right. Yeah, I just want to say, at this, you know, I didn't see the pictures, but we need to understand, even if he went overboard, I'm real kind of cautious about condemning him for disciplining his child. I think you have every right to discipline your child, and you need some oversight if there's abuse. But disciplining them, no, you shouldn't get disciplined or any action taken to get you from hitting your child. But the degree, yeah, we may have to. You may have to look at it if it's abuse. So my thought is, in this case, we just have to be cautious about, you know, our judgment without having a history of, you know, domestic abuse. About child abuse or any kind of abuse. We need to be cautious about condemning folks. We're really quick to judge and condemn, and I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Mr. Elias, man, give me your final thoughts on this topic, sir.
Well, like I said earlier, man, I prefer that, you know, we do watch what we do with our children. I prefer that, you know, we do discipline our children. And like I said, man, right now, that's the reason, to me, the country's in the position it is right now, because we don't discipline our children. We don't put forth an effort to, you know, everybody's scared that if they discipline their children, what's going to be the repercussions? Now, did he go overboard? Yeah, he went overboard, but the bottom line is, you know, so did my parents went overboard. I'm telling you. But, did any of us turn out real bad when they went overboard? Did it traumatize it to the point to where that we weren't functional in society? Or would if them just talking to us would have made us end up like people in Columbine? And we're talking back to our parents. My mother's 95 years old. To this day, you can't get me to say nothing out of line to her and talk back to her.
So.
Yeah, because boy, she'll tear that tail up, boy. I mean, even at that age.
No, she don't. No, she can't do that no more. But her trigger things are still there. So hey, look, I don't mess with her.
Same thing. Same thing. All right, folks, listen, boys, been a good set. Fun show today, but some serious topics. All right, coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines, plus our world-famous football picks are just around the corner. Keep it right here, folks. We'll be right back after this stuff on the way.
Thank you. Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
A Jersey City daycare that serves at least one Pinoy family made headlines yesterday after more than two dozen children ended up in the emergency room for accidentally drinking bleach. Investigators say the children drank bleach-tainted water mistakenly given to them by a substitute teacher at a growing pre-learning center, too. They say she used a bottle of water and teachers used for cleaning instead of using the cooler.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories made headlines. That story, if it was hard to hear, a daycare in North Carolina accidentally gave children bleach, Mr. Elias, instead of water. I mean, my gosh.
Wow.
I mean, it makes you wonder, man, the people that you trust with your children.
Wow. That is crazy, man. That's nuts, man. Wow. What happened? What did happen to the kids, man?
Well, they're all okay. It was mixed with bleach. They got real sick, and they took them to the hospital. But as far as I know, no child, you know, died or anything. But just think about that, Jerome. My goodness, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Nobody said anything. I was just saying, think about that. You have your child there, and these people give your kids bleach by accident.
Yeah, it's bleach. You can put bleach in water, a very small amount of bleach is how you kind of decontaminate water. So if you had no fresh water, they put a little bleach in it. But that's irresponsible, and I don't know what to say. I don't have that much faith in any institution in taking care of your child massively, so nobody's immune to that, and they need to sue the school district. They need to be more responsible when it comes to people's children.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, there was a situation where a substitute teacher thought that it was drinking water where it was a bottle that they used for cleaning solvent. So hopefully those kids will be okay. Breaking news, the Carolina Panthers have deactivated defensive end Greg Hardy. He was one of three guys actually this past week when we were talking about the Ray Rice situation. So they deactivated this guy. He was going to play, but I guess public pressure made them change their mind, Mr. Elias.
Right. I was just watching that. Yeah, hey, man. It's Ray Rice saga. Hopefully it'll bring a whole new light on to domestic violence or violence period, you know, in the NFL, man. Because, I mean, they had no policy in place until now. So, you know, maybe these players know that it's a serious issue, man.
Exactly. And now the other guy, McDonald, he's playing. Freaking 49ers, man. Those guys, boy. It's pathetic. It's pathetic.
What are you going to say, Jerome?
We know that's a violent sport, man, and so usually people who come out of violence, like, we expect them to be angels and all that good stuff. I think that, I didn't say this in our last segment, but I think the NFL, when you have a domestic violence case, I think they need to have a class action suit against the NFL so that they set aside money for the victims of domestic violence, being that they house a violent sport. Now work that out in court.
That's a good point, man. Excellent point. Well said, man. And on that note, folks, it's time for Chatterbox. Final thoughts from social media and the chat room. So, Mr. Elias, man, who do you have, my brother?
I got two of them. One of them's from Easy. He said, a lot of NFL players take steroids that make them do things they normally wouldn't do. Roy Rage, they call it.
Yeah.
And then St. Clemens got timeout equals, I want you to sit and think about what you did and got caught for, then how you could still have done it without getting caught.
So it sounds like our St. Clinton, our very own St. Clinton is saying, look, you need to sit down and reason with the child. Use your mind, not your belt. Hey, listen, I guess there's some substance to that.
No.
All right.
You didn't catch what he was saying.
No, I didn't. Well, say it really again.
It said, timeout equals, I want you to sit and think about what you did and got caught for, then how you can still do it without getting caught. That's what timeout equals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I didn't hear that part. Okay.
It's like saying people who go to jail learn how to be better criminals. That's what he said. You think they take too long.
Exactly. All right, folks. Yes. It is time for our football picks, and let me tell you, so far, the leader in the clubhouse, can anyone want to guess who it was?
That's
tell
me
who you thought had the best record last week.
I know it wasn't me, man. I know it wasn't me.
What about you, Jerome?
I want to say to Elias, since Jay brought it up, I'm going to go with Jay.
You're wrong. Mr. Elias was 10-5 last week.
Whoa.
Jerome was 7-8 last week, and I was freaking 5-10. Oh, my God. Wow.
Wait, Elias, that's from him going against us.
Oh, man. Wow. Unbelievable. Really? I couldn't believe that. I said, I had to add the numbers up 3 times. I'm like, is this right? Oh, God. All right. Time to pick them again.
Wait a minute.
You remind me
of the guys on Trading Places when they said, start the games over again.
I'm pissed. I am pissed. All right. So now it is time for our pick-ems. And so, Mr. Elias, Miami, Buffalo, who do you have?
Who do I have in that one? Let me look and see. I have Miami in that one.
What about you, Jerome?
I'm going to go with Buffalo. Winning streak. Since they won last
night. All right. So, okay, you're going with Buffalo. Mr. Elias, going with Miami. I'm going to go ahead and jump on the Miami bandwagon. Me and Mr. Elias are going to be riding shotgun this week. Not good news for you, Mr. Elias. I know. All right. Jacksonville, Washington. This is a tough game here.
I got Washington in
there. Man. What about you, Jerome?
All right. I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Jerome. Not good for you. You and I on the same path right here, baby. I'm going Jacksonville, too. Dallas, Tennessee. Man, it's another tough game. Mr. Elias.
I'm going with Tennessee on this one, Jay.
You know what, man? What about you, Jerome?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee. Dallas got they got a problem.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going with Dallas. So I'm riding with Dallas on this one. All right, Jerome, that's y'all too. All right, Arizona, New York, Mr. Elias.
I got picks in here. Let me see. Arizona, New York. Where is that at?
It's in New York.
I'm
going to
get the Giants, right?
I'm looking
Giants,
for it
yes,
on my
New York
pick.
Giants.
I'm looking for it on my pick. Check it. I usually pick.
All right, I'm
going
to go with the Giants just to be.
I'm going with you, Jerome.
I'm going with
Carson Palmer. All right, that's your pick. Carson Palmer's out this week.
No.
You got it.
That's right. No, I'm going to change. I'm going with the Giants. That's right.
Now you're going to change. I shouldn't have said nothing. Okay, whatever.
I just saw that.
All right, New England, Minnesota. Wow, Adrian Peterson out.
New England.
Jerome?
Yeah, New England. They're going to be rattled by this. New England.
Okay, this is my upset special. I'm going with the Vikings. All right, New Orleans, Cleveland.
I'm going New Orleans.
Yeah, I can't go with Johnny Manziel's squad. I'm going to have to go with New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm riding with you guys. You guys sound like you know what you're talking about on this one. All right, Atlanta, Cincinnati. That's a good game.
I'm going with the Dirty Birds, man.
All right, what about you, Jerome?
There you go. Yep, so am I. Atlanta.
Okay. I'm going with Cincinnati on that one. Detroit, Carolina. Cam Newton's first game back.
I'm going with Detroit on that one.
What about you, Jerome?
Man, I want to cheer for Cam Newton, but I'm going to have to go with Detroit.
I'm going to have to ride with you guys. I don't want to, but I'm going to ride with you. St. Louis, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Okay,
yeah,
what
Tampa
about
Bay.
You, Jerome?
Yep,
Tampa Bay? You going Tampa,
mm-hmm.
too? You know what? I'm not riding with you guys. I am going with St. Louis. I think that Tampa sucks. I mean, you know, they sucks. All right, here we go. Seattle, San Diego. Should I just put us all down for Seattle?
Yeah, basically, yes.
just talk it down.
All right, I'll just, you know, sometimes you just have to go with the flow. All right, Houston, Oakland. Yeah. This is going to be a good game.
I'm going, who do I have in that? I got H-Town in that one.
All right, what about you, Jerome?
Man, we're going to go with Oakland.
You know what? I'm going to ride with you on that one, Jerome, man. I think Derek Carr is going to show us something. The Jets against Green Bay. Should we all just go ahead and do Green Bay?
Yeah, basically. Damn, why ain't got that money? Yeah, I'm going Green Bay.
Okay, I'm going with the Jets. Yeah. I believe in Geno Smith. All right, Kansas City, Denver. Mr. Elias, what are you doing?
I'm going with Denver, man. I'm going with Denver.
Going against the Saints. Oh, yeah. What about you, Jerome?
That's going to be Denver. I'm going with Denver.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that one. Chicago, San Fran. Ooh, good game.
San Fran, man.
Yeah.
What about you, Jerome?
I'm rooting for San Fran. Yep, San Fran.
Okay. I'm going with Chicago. I think Chicago's going to pull that one out. I think
yeah, right.
In the Monday night game, that's why my record's jacked up, right? In the Monday night game, Philly and Indy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, whatever. Philly and Indy. Who do you have, Mr. Elias?
I got Indianapolis.
Oh, do you really? What about you, Jerome?
Yes, I do.
You went with Philly last week, Elias. All right.
I'm
going with the Colts. Right. No,
so
I'm saying. Like, he went with them. Now he's going against them. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going
with the Colts.
I'm going to take my boys from Philly. All right, that's it. All right, after a quick break, folks, it is time on a need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. Don't go nowhere, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Family First with Kathleen Williams. Today, we're going to talk about the top three things that you can do to protect your children from predators. First, teach your children that predators exist. Talk to them. Let them know what appropriate touching is. Talk to them about their private body parts and teach them how to feel safe and how to use their gut to make sure that they can identify when they feel comfortable and when they don't and when to get away. Second, you want to teach your children self-defense. What about those karate classes? What about self-defense classes for children? That's not out of the norm anymore. Make sure that we're giving our children all of the tools that they need to keep themselves safe when we're not around. Third, for parents, stop putting your business in the street. Yes, parents, stop putting your business in the street. A lot of times we say it's the kids that are blab, blab, blabbing all the time. In this case, it's the moms sometimes, maybe even the dads, blab, blab, blabbing. I had a gentleman who used to take advantage of children sexually tell me personally that he would get all the information that he needed to take advantage of a child, usually the child of a single mother, directly from the mom herself. She'd tell him exactly what was going on with the father, how absent he was or wasn't, how upset the child was about it, how badly they needed a male role model or a male figure in the child's life, and on and on and on and on. By the time she finishes giving him all the information, he knows exactly where the vulnerabilities are and how to isolate that child and begin to set him up as his prey. Exactly. So stop putting your business in the street. That's key. All right, the top three things again. Teach your children that predators exist. Teach your children self-defense. And stop putting your business in the street. Lastly, I just wanted to remind you about my book, Single Mother, the New Father, Volume 1, Sports, the Mother's Playing Field. And it teaches you how to take advantage of the sports experience to get a hold of all the male role models that you might need and have them in the life of your child, but also how single women can effectively navigate the man's world of amateur sports and use it to develop the best possible relationship for you and your child. This is Kathleen Williams with Family First. Talk to you next time.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession requests.
The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, you know what time it is. It is time for On a Need-to-Know Basis. My main man, Jerome Esprit. Man, Jerome, man, what do you have for us this morning?
All right, Jay. Well, President Obama led moving tributes to the victims of the 9/11 as it marks the 13th anniversary of terrorist attacks this week. as victims' relatives gathered at the World Trade Center for their traditional name-reading ceremony, the president spoke at the Pentagon. He said that it has now been 13 years since peace of American mourning was broken, 13 years since nearly 3,000 beautiful people were taken from us, and 13 years of moments they will never share with us, and 13 years of memories they would have made. So he paid tribute to the strength and endurance of the families of the survivors of the Pentagon personnel who returned to work the next day, more determined than ever to keep America strong. So he said, America stands strong, and America stands proud, and we will only grow stronger. So he also laid a wreath of white lilies and chrysanthemums, and, you know, as taps played. So there was a lot of tributes for the 13th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on World Trade. Now, U.S. consumer credit soared in July. It's the biggest jump since November of 2001. It was driven by auto loans and student borrowing. So with that being said, the U.S. dollar jumped to a 14-month high against the euro this week as investors bet that the Federal Reserve would hike interest rates earlier than expected, but it also knocked down global equity market. It weakened the global equity market. So good news still on the economic front. Now, carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere reached record highs in 2013, as increased levels of this man-made pollution transformed the planet. This is according to the UN Weather Agency. It's blamed for the largest share of global warming since its concentrations are 397 parts per million last year. So that's the biggest year-to-year change in three decades. That's according to the World Meteorological Organization, if you want to check that out. I know, I had to throw weather in for this one story. Mount Rushmore received 7 inches of snow, while Custer, South Dakota, got 8 inches, and Rapid City just got a couple of inches. It's the earliest snowfall since 1888.
That's right, I all saw that one.
Yeah. So, and the interesting thing is, even with the global warming, Earth's protective layer, the ozone layer, is beginning to recover, largely because of the phase out of some chemicals in the 80s that was used for refrigerants in aerosol cans. That's according to the UN scientific panel. They released their study this week, and they said, in a rare piece of good news about the health of the planet, scientists said the development demonstrates that when we come together, when the world comes together, we can counteract a brewing economic ecological crisis. So we need to still keep coming together, apparently, because global warming is happening. Bill Gates donated $50 million to fight Ebola in West Africa, is what they're saying. The money will go to international organizations involving in transmission of the virus. So Bill Gates is putting his money where his mouth is. And for the people who are traveling, the summer travel season, airline flights were more likely to arrive on time and less likely to be canceled than they were last year. So over the first 6 months of 2014, delays were the highest since 2008, and cancellations the highest since 2000. So the U.S. Department of Transportation said amongst the 14 largest carriers, 75% arrived on time, and only 6.616% were canceled. So at the bottom of the rankings, I'll do that first, JetBlue and Southwest, where 1 in 3 flights arrived late. But the high guys were Hawaiian Airlines, Delta, and Alaskan Airlines were at the top. So flying is good news for those people who don't expect their flights to be delayed. Now, economic sanctions against Cuba has caused the island nation $3.9 billion in foreign trade over the last year, according to new estimates, and it raises their overall economic damage to $116.8 billion over the last 55 years, is what the figures showed. They were published for the UN each year for a UN committee who request a resolution for the last 22 straight years. They passed resolutions with overwhelming support to get rid of the U.S. embargo. But last year, as you know, the vote was 188-2. The only nations for keeping the UN embargo against Cuba was the United States and Israel voted against the resolution. But America has lost nearly all its international support for the embargo since the collapse of the Soviet Union, and no other nation besides the United States has an economic embargo against Cuba. But we're still keeping up that. Keep the lie alive. We're still going. All right. So, also, you know, governments around the world have been moving beyond marijuana, and they want to legally regulate all drugs, including psychedelics, cocaine, and heroin. A group of former world leaders and activists says in a report called Taking Control, Pathways to Drug Policies at Work, is asking nations around the world to legalize all drugs. So we'll have to see how that comes out. All right. Now, in Utah, I don't know if you guys heard this story, but in Utah, an elementary school teacher who was carrying a concealed weapon accidentally shot herself in the bathroom in the leg before school started this week. So they said the bullet just traveled through her leg, and she wasn't hurt. But Utah is amongst a few states that allow people with concealed weapons permits to carry guns in public schools, and that's according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. Now, I want to go to this Atlanta Hawks story. LES, or Jay, did you guys hear the story about Danny Ferry asking for his immediate resignation? Well, maybe I lost him on this one. Okay. Well, Atlanta Hawks general manager Danny Ferry has no immediate plans for resignation following the racist comments he claimed to have read during a conference call regarding potential free agent Luol Deng in June. So what he said on the conference call was he was discussing the positives and negatives of Luol Deng. He said that he has a little African in him, not in a bad way. He's like a guy who would have a nice store in the front and sell counterfeit stuff in the back, is what Danny Ferry said. So Danny Ferry is claiming that those reports came from other agents and other reports on him, but he apologized, and he doesn't plan to resign.
You know, the thing is, I never really got the full grasp of that story and why Danny Ferry was in trouble. I never got that. So, okay, I never understood that.
Atlanta Hawks has more than one owner. They have like a consortium, like a group. And he was on a conference call, and he was reading these this negative stuff about Luol Deng, right? Saying that, you know, he has a little African, not in a bad way, but blah, blah, blah. And some other stuff, right? Describing him as a two-faced liar and a cheat. So one of the co-owners on the line sent a letter to the owner, who, by the way, made some racist statements himself, and said that he's going to get rid of his ownership of the team. But he sent a letter saying that he wanted Danny Ferry fired for saying that.
Wow.
And Danny Ferry is saying, I was just reading what other people wrote. That's a good racist way out of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that he's racist. I don't know him. But you can't just say stuff and say, oh, that's what I was just reading what somebody else said, when you know that it's inflammatory and racist.
I know. Okay. Now, okay. I used to like Danny Ferry, but now he can go to hell. Thank you for clearing that up
for me. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, I don't know if you saw the story with Mike Tyson, but Mike Tyson was on a live television show in Canada. Now, I love this story. And this is why I like Mike Tyson. Right? And this is why, and I think people should do this to media at any given time. Because media gets beside themselves thinking that they can trap you, like everything is the old 60 Minutes, right? So, former heavyweight champion expressed support for Toronto's mayor, Rob Ford, when one of the hosts of the television show suggested that Mike Tyson's 92 conviction of race actually will hurt his bid for re-election. So after initially Mike Tyson said he had no comment to make, he said to the news anchor, You're being negative. I met the mayor, and there was nothing that you could do about it, right? So after a while, Mike Tyson said, you come across like a guy, nice guy, but you're really a piece of something. Something,
yeah.
Right? He called him a piece of something with a, that started with an S. So
yes.
Mike Tyson just said, I don't care what you're going to do about it. So Mike Tyson on live TV, because they were trying to shut him because they were live.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson said, I don't care. So when he was asked, when he was asked whether he found acting or boxing more nerve-wracking, Tyson responded, it's more nerve-wracking than talking to a rat piece of stuff like you. And he used that word again. I like Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
that's
you know
how
the
you're
thing
supposed
is,
to act when somebody ambushes you.
And let me tell you something. And there was no TV host. It was one guy, and he was a brother that actually came at him like that. It was a brother who came at him like that. I was very surprised when I saw it, though. And that guy was
surprised,
funny mess right there. Yeah, I was surprised that the brother came at him like that. I was a little surprised by that, to be honest with you.
He's from Canada. He thought that Mike Tyson was just going to be polite because he's on TV and try to save face and be nice. And Mike said, I knock people out for a living. Come get knocked out. He put the Bebo on live TV. Actually, here's another in bad news parenting story. A father flipped out, and you want to talk about either beating your kid or doing this, but a father flipped out while allegedly doing drugs with his 14-year-old daughter in a hotel room. This guy was Miles James was arrested early in this week in Baytown, Texas, and the hotel heard screams coming from the room, and police were called, and they found him in a room with his teenage daughter, and the girl told police officers that they were doing drugs and her dad flipped out, and he was charged with child endangerment. But they didn't charge the teenager with doing drugs. I don't know who was in the wrong here, but he was doing drugs with his 14-year-old in a hotel.
Wow. Sad.
Okay. So next time y'all start picking on people for disciplining their children, I would rather for them to discipline them. If you got a drug problem, leave your kids alone.
Then do drugs with them, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to do drugs with them. And, there was a... In other news, I hate doing Johnson news stories, but I'm going to do this one. A California woman convicted of severing her husband's Johnson and throwing it in the kitchen waste disposal has been sentenced to life in prison. Can I get my boss for that? She got life in prison now. She may seek parole after 7 years. I don't know how you get life and you can seek parole after 7 years. But anyway, her lawyer said that she had mental issues that caused her to abuse, that was caused by abuse as a child and by her ex-husband. So what she did, right, she drugged him with sleeping pills, tied him to the bed, and then cut him off. And the police said that they were going through a divorce during that time.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I know. She got life, but... Don't you hate those stories? I'm sorry for even bringing it up.
Yeah, Jerome, I'm fidgeting in my seat, man. Thanks.
I know. All right, so while I'm on that, let me just start away saying that the first male contraceptive injection could be available within 3 years. There's a Vagisil that is... it's another Johnson story, so I'm kind of squeamish again. You kind of inject it, and it's a contraceptive.
Huh? Oh, my God. Wow.
It's a male contraceptive that you inject through your stuff to make sure that you don't... I'm sorry.
Alrighty,
I thought that was going to be a little bit better. It didn't work out better, did it?
All right. No, it didn't work out better at all.
How about this one? Scientists have mapped out the best way for men suffering back pain to have sex. Now, this is actual news story, by the way. So, contrary to popular belief, spooning is not good for you, for your posture if you have backache, is what researchers found. So, instead, they're saying that you may want to, how did they say this? Replace, like, spooning and stuff for a long period of time. that a more hip hinging motion rather than thrusting will help your spine is what they said. I tried not to get graphic because this is Sunday morning.
Yeah, right. It is. So, okay. One more,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that there's a story in there someplace. Now, two men, really quickly, that the Central Park Five did receive their judgment of $41 million for being in jail from 7 to 13 years for their raping of a jogger in Central Park. So they did get that. And also, two men who spent 3 decades in prison for rape and murder, one was on death row. They was just released after new DNA evidence showed their innocence. So the two half-brothers, Henry McCollum, who's 50, and Leon Brown, 46, were convicted in 1984, and they were 19 and 15 at the time, and they spent all of this time in jail where there was no physical evidence, and they were coerced into, one was signed a confession written by police, and the other one was told, if you just confess, we'll let you go. I guess you can never believe that story. Oh, and one 18-year-old wrongful imprisonment they hid evidence in San Francisco. They had a ruling against them that they paid the guy $3.5 million as a settlement.
Wow. All right, man. As always, good stuff. All right, folks, it's time for an NPR News update, and our final thoughts are going nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Condemnation is pouring in from around the world after militants of the so-called Islamic State murdered British aid worker David Haines. Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron says he'll do whatever is necessary to destroy the extremists.
David has been murdered in the most callous and brutal way imaginable by an organization which is the embodiment of evil. We will hunt down those responsible and bring them to justice, no matter how long it takes.
Cameron's strategy, however, does not include airstrikes for now. Meanwhile, British intelligence agencies are analyzing the voice in a video posted online by ISIS, purporting to show Haines being beheaded. In the video, the militant condemns British support for U.S. actions against the extremists.
This British man has to pay the price for your promise, Cameron, to arm the Peshmerga against the Islamic State.
Secretary of State John Kerry says he's encouraged by pledges of military assistance from countries inside and out of the Middle East. Violence in eastern Ukraine is escalating, putting the already fragile ceasefire in further doubt. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley is in Donetsk with monitors from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe and tells us heavy shelling took them by surprise.
We were in town where a large store, several stories high, had been shelled. It was on fire. There was huge billowing smoke. The whole street was, smoky. And then all of a sudden, mortar rounds just started booming around us. It was horrible. Everyone just scrambled. The OSCE, we just jumped back into the cars, and it just kept going off, and we just hightailed it out of there. But I can tell you, they were so close. We were told they were 200 yards away. So the shelling is now back in the city in Donetsk.
NPR's Eleanor Beardsley. European Union finance ministers have wrapped up their meeting in Milan, aimed at boosting the Eurobloc's economic recovery. They're looking for ways to stimulate their economies without getting into further debt. And after years of German-imposed austerity, NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports the new buzzword in Europe is investment.
After chairing the two-day meeting, Italian finance minister Piercarlo Padoan said the master plan for growth is more investments, above all private, but also public. That view was echoed by France's finance minister, Michel Sapin, who said, "We don't have a magic wand, but we need growth. We need to stimulate demand without taking on debt." France and Italy have been pressing Germany to allow greater leeway in fiscal regulations to promote public investment. The EU generates about a quarter of global output, but its economy grew by just 0.1% last year. And with about 25 million people unemployed, its jobless rate is almost twice that of the U.S. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
This is NPR.
All right, folks, it's been a good Sunday morning. Once again, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And, listen, I have to apologize. I'm not sure why that news thing comes in sometimes at fast speed. That's something going on with BTR. I really don't have anything to do with that. The pitch changes, and I'm not sure why it does that. But it's time for our final thoughts. Jerome, you're up first. Final thoughts.
All right. Now, this is a story that I didn't talk about because I didn't have enough time, but I will say this. New witnesses came forward to the shooting of Michael Brown. The construction worker who shared their stories with the FBI, it was two construction workers. They said they were about 50 feet away from the shooting when it happened, and they corroborated what the other witnesses said. Now, CNN and other news outlets are doing this as breaking news, but this is a problem with racism. They're saying the exact same thing that the black witnesses said earlier, and now white people are now believing that now it's murder. This is a problem with society. Just because we now have white witnesses saying that they saw exactly the same thing that the black people saw, now white people believe them, is something that we need to examine ourselves when we start questioning what's going on in this country. That's all I have to say, but we can talk about this at some other time.
Yeah, right. We'll talk about it next Sunday. Good point, man. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you. Still, yes, man, final thoughts.
Man, I got to chime in on what I was just saying. Jerome took my thunder, man. Look, folks, you know, this Michael Brown situation, please, let's don't let it get away from us. Let's keep the fire, the feet to the fire, man. Let's keep pushing, and let's make a change. And because the world is watching Ferguson, Missouri right now to see what kind of change we're going to make. So let's make changes. Let's get these people out of office. Let's force this governor to put a special prosecutor in place so they can put this officer in jail, and he could be the first officer that goes to jail for killing an innocent young man.
You know, folks, the thing is, like my colleagues are saying, this is ridiculous. This guy is still running around free, and no justice has been served at this point. You know, when are we going to realize that, you know, the bottom line is, because you wear a uniform doesn't give you the right to kill. You know, you may have a license to kill, but it doesn't give you a right to kill. And in situations like this, we really and truly need to be looking at Ferguson and hoping that the spotlight never dies. You know, something that I said a long time ago, and I'm going to start to take that back. I said a long time ago, a couple of years ago, that, you know, if these black folks were around back in the 60s, the ones that are around today, we'd still be sitting at lunch counters in the colored section. But I'm going to slowly but surely change my opinion on it, because it looks like we're trying to get together and do the right thing. So don't let it die, and we'll talk about this more next week on The Serious Side. And on that note, Mr. L.E.S., if it's Sunday, football Sunday, we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show.
Feel better, Dr. Princess Odinia, and I'm going to redeem myself next week. So for Jerome Expree, my main man, Mr. L.E.S., I'm J. Rao saying, make it a great weekend. Enjoy football and enjoy your work week. And remember, if we are talking serious stuff, it is The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show. God bless everybody.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.